Our reading is taken from Genesis chapter 40, beginning to read at verse 1. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream, I saw a fine vine in front of me, and on the vine, there were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." This is the word of the Lord.
Wonderful. Right, would the children like to come and sit down at the front? Because I need your help waking somebody up. Anyone else is welcome to come down to the front as well if they want to. Okay. Right, so we need to wake up Oscar. So remember, it's after three. So I'm going to count 1, 2, 3, and you're going to shout, "Wake up, Oscar." Okay? He's fast asleep, you know. Right, 1, 2, 3.
Wake up, Oscar!
Do you know what? Grown-ups around here never learn a lesson. Your little voice are not quite loud enough to wake Oscar up, so they have to join in. Okay, after three. 1, 2, 3.
Wake up,
Oscar! Was I talking earlier? Usually. You thought you were back on the boat? You had that going up feeling. Yeah, that was the audio clip of me doing a lock. Was that the one I bumped and you fell over? We weren't going to mention the locks I bumped. Right, now, we're going to play another game. And this is a game not about whose voice it is. We're going to use the voices that we heard. So I need you to stand up. Yeah? Now, you won't remember this game. How many grown-ups remember Run Around? Yeah? And there was a television program called Run Around. It was a quiz show. And you had to line up in front of the answer that you thought. So, two faces are going to appear on the screen, and you need to go to the side that they are, that's the voice you would trust. So, first, we're going to have the Queen versus Homer Simpson. Who would you trust? Queen's on that side, Homer Simpson's on this side. Right, okay. So you'd trust... grown-ups, which way do you reckon? The Queen or Homer Simpson? The Queen. Right, okay. Back into the middle. Right, okay. I was wrong that time, wasn't I? Yeah. Right, okay. Next one. Darth Vader. Versus... yeah, Darth Vader. Oh, I love the T-shirt because who's coming up? It's BB-8. Who would you choose, Darth Vader or BB-8? It's really worrying as a vicar when one of the children in the church family shouts, "I'm going to the dark side!" No, I'm definitely over this side. I never thought anybody could replace R2-D2 in my heart, but BB-8 has. So there are three answers here. Darth Vader, BB-8, or who on earth are they? So who would you choose? This side, there, all right, okay, yeah, this side. Right, okay, back in the middle. Right, okay, next person, next one. Who would you trust? Would it be a clanger or David Attenborough? You want to go that way? I like the clangers, you see. But it isn't about who you like. It's about who you trust. So I'm afraid I'm going on this side. And I would love to hear David Attenborough talking about the clangers. So, grown-ups, who would you trust? The clangers or David Attenborough? Well, Kevin's going with the clangers, but everyone else is saying David Attenborough. Right, back into the middle. Because it's about who do you trust? So,
James Bond.
Or, who do you... James has already made his mind up over there. Or,
Danger Mouse.
Two secret agents. Who are you going to trust? This one's much harder. However, grown-ups, who would you trust, Danger Mouse or James Bond? It's a split decision here. I'm going this way because I want the DB10. So, right, okay, back into the middle. Okay, who would you trust? Would it be Mr. Tumble or Dora? Oh, who do you trust? Oh, it's getting a bit controversial at the front. Why are you stood in the middle?
Because we might not know.
You might not know, and?
An incompetent and a girl with a talking map.
An incompetent or a girl with a talking map. Well, to be honest, grown-ups, again, this is a three-way question. Mr. Tumble, Dora, or, So, who are we going for? Oh, it's a split decision. Well, I'm going to stand on this side with Oscar, because Dora has a map that knows how to get anywhere, and it's never been wrong yet. Right, okay, back into the middle. Last one. Who do you trust? Do you trust me? Or Winston Churchill? I'm going that way. I really want to be on the other side here, but you're not moving, are you? No, you're not. Right. Oh. Right, okay. Oh, okay. Oh, that's nice. This is very... Yeah, you're only kidding. You're actually on that side. Yeah, okay. Come on then. Come and sit down in the middle. So you remember last week, we were thinking about the story of Joseph. Now, Joseph got this dead fancy coat from his dad. And Joseph, to be honest with you, was a bit of a big head. and he wasn't actually very nice. He was that annoying little brother. I was the youngest of three, wasn't I? Yes, I was. Was I an annoying little brother? What do you think? Okay, moving on. He was given a coat, but he was, and he was hearing God's voice, because he was able to hear those dreams that God was sending about his future. And actually, if you look back at the start of that story, those dreams were true. But Joseph wasn't listening properly, because what it did was it made him really proud. And so his brothers sold him. You're not allowed to do that, by the way. I do not, parents, can I just point out, at no point this morning did I suggest that older siblings are allowed to sell younger siblings, because it's in the Bible. Yeah? I'm watching. Where's your eldest gone? I'm watching. I didn't say it. You're not allowed to do it. But Joseph's brothers did. And as you can see, Joseph was not impressed. So Joseph, as we heard in the reading, ended up in prison. And the reason he ended up in prison actually wasn't his fault. And he spent a long time in prison. And it seems like something happened to Joseph when he was in prison. Because when it came to listening to that story we heard earlier about someone who had a dream, and Joseph said, "Let me tell you what the dream was," Joseph began to sound a bit different. Joseph began to work out who to trust. Was it the little voice in his own head that said, "You're important, you're special, so you need to act like that"? Or was it the voice of God saying, "I've given you this gift, you need to use it to help other people"? There were still echoes of the old Joseph, because he was like, "You know, I'll help you with your dream, but, you know, remember me, get me out of jail, you know, get out of jail free, like Monopoly." We have so many voices outside in the world, and sometimes the voices of our own minds that say, "We need to do this, we need to do that, you'll never matter, you're rubbish, you failed, you're brilliant, you're great." How do we learn to listen, not just to recognize a voice like we did with Darth Vader and Homer Simpson, but how do we get to understand how to trust the right voice? You have to learn. Yeah, absolutely. And that's what Joseph did. He learnt. So first you have to, what word do you think I'm thinking of here? Listen. You have to listen. That means we have to take time to listen. If we're wanting to hear God's voice, there's no point running around all day going, "La, la, 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 la." We never give God a chance to get in. Or when we sit down to pray, or when we're praying, or we're walking, or we're just constantly talking and saying, "God, oh, please, I really need your help with this. Oh, and I forgot I put the cat. Need to put the cat out. Can you help me remember to put the cat out? And please, will you help me with my exams?" And then by the time you get to where you're going, God hasn't had a chance to fit a word in edgeways. We need to learn how to listen. And sometimes that needs to involve deliberately going somewhere where we can be quiet. Maybe only for a few minutes, because there are those of us that can't sit still and quiet for more than 2 minutes, and I'm one of them. But it's about learning to listen. But then I think it's also a bit like learning a new language. It's not just okay to listen. Joseph heard what God was saying, but then he acted on it the wrong way. He was proud and he was boastful, and he was a real pain in the pain. We need to learn a new language. What's the best way to learn a language? Yeah? Brilliant. What's the best way to learn a language? Go with someone. Talk to someone who knows how to speak that language. That's a really good way. Any other ways that you could learn how to speak a language? You could go to that country. You could spend time there, couldn't you? Anything else you could do? Sorry? You could listen. Tapes or a phrase book. European phrase book. All the words and phrases you need to get by in Europe. Awkward. Or you could use that phrase book, because that phrase book will help us to learn how to understand what we're hearing. Joseph had to spend, Lord alone knows how many years, in prison before he started to understand what the words he was hearing, what the things God was saying to him were actually about. And finally, we need to do something about it. There's no point just sitting there and listening to our heart's content. There's no point even understanding what we think God is doing if we then decide to put the kettle on and have a cup of tea and do nothing. We have to do something. For those who can't see it, that's a picture of a penguin with a polar bear, which I know is not possible because penguins live at the South Pole and polar bears live at the North Pole. Thank you very much to all of you geographical pedants out there. But the penguin is about to crash a cymbal behind the polar bear. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? That's a bad idea. That is what Joseph did. He heard God's voice. He understood the interpretation of the dreams, but then he did something really, really stupid. We need to learn how to do the right things when we hear God's voice speaking to us. Joseph eventually did, and he became the second most important person in all of Egypt, and he saved his family, and he saved his dad, and he forgave his brothers. Joseph learnt to listen to God's voice, to understand God's voice, and then how to act when he heard God's voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." And that's what I want us to learn today from the story of Joseph, how to listen to the voice of our shepherd, how to know him, to know what he's saying to us, and then how to follow him. Right. Are you going back to bed? Brilliant. Come on then. Oh, there we go. There we are. So, it's not just about recognizing a voice. It's knowing which voice to trust and then knowing what to do.